seen the title of the sermon this morning. Would you bow with me? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to lift up your name. Help us always to honor you in our lives, in the things we say and do, that the name of Jesus, your Son, would be glorified on this earth, that your kingdom would spread abroad. Help us toward that end. Help us in our worship today, that your name be honored. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The passage we're going to look at today is not perhaps one you would deal with in trying to bring someone to Christ. But all of the scripture needs to be dealt with. And there are many important lessons to be learned from any scripture that we want to look at. We're going to be looking at Matthew 15, 21 through 28 today. And it's the encounter of Jesus with a Canaanite woman. You know, Jesus very seldom went outside of Judah and Galilee. In other words, the land of Israel. On occasion, though, because of their rebellion, etc., he did leave the territory, and this time he went somewhere close to Tyre and Sidon, and thus we have this encounter. We're going to read from the New American Standard Version, as always, beginning in verse 21 of Matthew 15. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered her not a word. He answered and said to them in verse 24, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, some people read this passage and they jump to the wrong conclusion. They jump to the conclusion that Jesus was harsh with this woman. We're going to see that that is not true. One of the things that Jesus often did, yes, he helped people because they were hungry, and yes, he helped people because they were hurting. But much of what Jesus did centered around teaching the disciples. And they needed to learn a lesson, and that's involved in what goes on in this discussion that we're looking at today. So we want to keep that in mind. Immediately preceding this in Matthew 14, you have Jesus feeding 5,000 people. And the multitudes pursued him far away. Everywhere he went, they were there. And he decided to feed them. Had he only been interested in feeding them, he could have done a miracle. But he didn't just feed them. No. In Matthew 14:15, it was evening when his disciples came, and they said to him, This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go to the villages and buy themselves food. Thus we see him pushing aside the situation as it was, so to speak, with a question. And that question brought about the answer that we have five loaves and two fish. Now, obviously, five loaves and two fish are not going to feed 5,000 people, right? There's something else going on. Jesus wants to enlarge the faith of his disciples. We'll see a little later in this lesson that God had sent him down here and given him 12 men. But he had a job to teach them. What job was that? Well, I'll go ahead and hit the main point. that job was that those 12 men would carry his message to the entire world after he was gone. He was sent to Israel because they were God's people of old. And they got first opportunity. Not, you know, they interpreted it to mean only opportunity. But they got first opportunity. That's all the difference there was. Now, as we think about this again, the training of the 12 was very important. And it might be missed by a casual reader of the New Testament. And they might think again that he was being harsh with this woman. Some of the translations maybe appear a little harsher than others. Again, we're dealing with translations from one language into another, in this case, Greek into English. So we'll try to make the point of what was being said here. In John 17, 4, Jesus said to the Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you have given me to do. In John 17, 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Again, what was Jesus's, and I already hit upon this, what was his point? His point was to train these 12 men that God gave him. Yes, very shortly they'll lose one. That will be replaced. Then they'll lose another. And that one will be replaced with the Apostle Paul. But let's look at what happened. Here he says, I have manifested your name in the men whom you have given me out of the world. In other words, they have come to understand. They've grown to understand. They realize their job. And the Canaanite woman story is a part of learning that job. We're going to look at several points about this. But number one, we want to see this woman's desperation. In Matthew 15, 12-22, we see she was from Tyre and Sidon, a Canaanite. These were Canaanite cities, Gentile territory, and it appears that this is one of the few, if not the only time that Jesus left Israel, but maybe not the only one. But anyway, it's very odd that he did this. In verse 24, he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But notice verse 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now, we're not told, how did this daughter get demon-possessed? We know we do not have demon possession today in the sense that they talked about back then. That was done so that the apostles and Jesus could come and cast these out throughout the world. And this gave proof that they came from God, and thus Christianity debunked the gods like Zeus and Ra in Egypt and everywhere else in the world. And Christianity took over the world. You see, it was the sword of God going forth, and it was effective. You know, oftentimes in our lives, it takes a desperate situation to get us to grow, doesn't it? We don't know how much and what this woman had done to try to get her daughter free from this demon. But when we get desperate, we search for answers, don't we? In this case, she apparently had searched out and found out the Son of God, the Son of David, is in Israel, and he can cure anybody. He can cure anything. So she was very much interested in seeing Jesus. And again, we don't know any of that background. We can only surmise. She did acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. Did you see that? She called him the Son of David, a messianic term meant to describe the one who would come of the lineage of David to be the Savior of the world. She recognized that. In John 1:11, Jesus, it said, came to his own, and his own did not receive him. They rejected him as a whole, at least the leaders did. Now, in contrast to that, you have these Jewish intelligentsia, they rejected Jesus, didn't they? But this Canaanite woman, she accepted him as a Messiah. The Jewish contradicted Jesus, but not this woman. She recognized his right and power as the master. And we'll see that a little later here. This is what would happen as Christianity went throughout the world. As Christianity affected the changes that came upon the ancient world. You can see similar passages in Acts 13:46, etc., that's listed on your sheet there. Okay, it's time for us to deal with Jesus' treatment of this woman. Notice again, she said, "Have mercy upon me, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But in verse 23, it appears he didn't even raise his head to look at her. Doesn't that seem rude? He didn't respond at all. And if he looked at her, he still didn't respond. We're not given all those details, but we do know he didn't respond, did he? Secondly, we see the disciples' disgust. In verse 23, this is Peter, James, John, etc. "He answered her not a word, and the disciples came and urged him, 'Send her away. She's yelling out after us.'" I'll paraphrase that a little bit. "She's screaming out after us. Tell her to leave. Get rid of her." Obviously, the presence of this Gentile woman brought them some upset, right? They were not pleased with all of this situation. But remember, in Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." That was their job. That was what he was training them to do. They hadn't fully gotten all that yet. Their faith and their understanding still needed to grow as this developed. To Jesus' disciples at this point, all of this is disgusting. I mean, how would y'all like it? We're trying to worship and we got some woman in the back who's not a member of the church yelling out to me. How would you respond? Would you not act like the disciples did? You'd want some peace and quiet in our worship, right? Well, they're upset about all of this. They were disgusted by it. Now, the Jews actually called Gentiles dogs. Can you imagine that? What kind of political backlash would you get today if we call somebody a dog? The Jews call Gentiles dogs. Jesus, as this story unfolds, kind of agrees with them, kind of. And they think, okay, he's really, you know, he's orthodox. He agrees with us. But then they're going to get a strange answer. I know it doesn't come out clearly in our translations. Part of the reason we need background studies. But the Jews called Gentiles dogs. Jesus, though, in talking about this woman, used a different word. But let's look in Acts 10:28. It says, "Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean.'" Now, this is several years later. Peter has still not learned the lesson. It's there. He encountered it. But he's not fully learned the lesson yet. Gentiles had not yet entered the church. In other words, people of our lineages. They had not entered the church at that point. Thirdly, look at the Lord's direction here. Jesus' response, first of all, was to ignore the woman. He appeared on the surface to be disgusted with it. And yet he wasn't, really. He was developing the faith of his disciples. At the same time, he was testing the faith of this woman. You know, if we come to God under great stress, are we going to quit when we get some troubles along the way? Now, in this case, a woman was coming to God. She recognized him as the Messiah. She called him Son of David. He answered her not a word. So it appears on the surface he had no concern for the plight of this woman. But again, he's wanting to up the ante of the disciples' attitudes, to teach them a very dramatic lesson. And he said, when he finally did speak, he said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Sounds harsh, right? And again, I can imagine how the disciples said, boy, he really is orthodox. That's what we thought. He's ungodly dog Gentiles. But the woman fell at his feet, called him the Son of David, that is Messiah, and she said, help me. Jesus' response in verse 26, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. That's the New King James translation. You may have another that just says dogs. Now, this implies Jesus considered the woman a dog, right? That's what the Jews thought. But he changed the wording. He doesn't use the ordinary word that the Jews use when they referred to Gentiles. He switched it to a word that meant, well, let me back up. What did the Jews consider dogs? Well, they didn't have them in their homes. They were ungodly by the old law. They were unclean. The only Jews in only dogs in Israel were the wild dogs, the scavengers, those that tore up your trash and tried to get food out of it. But Gentiles, they kept dogs many times in their homes. Kind of like people today, right? Jesus switched to a word that would have been what this woman understood of dogs. He used a word that meant little dog, as the New King James translated it, but doesn't give you the context. Little dog or puppies. So are you saying Jesus called her a puppy? Maybe, but he did call her a little dog. This immediately in her mind would remind her of maybe a dog in her own home, a dog in the homes of her friends. And the Jews, on first examination, might think, okay, Jesus is saying just what we've said all along. But then they must have thought, why did he use that term? Nobody uses that term to refer to Gentiles. So the very words he used that we have translated in little dog in the New King James would have immediately caused them to start reasoning and thinking. And that's part of what he was doing. He was training them not to look upon Gentiles as dogs in the sense of wild roving animals that you didn't want anywhere around you. Now, the woman picked up on this. She was no stranger to Jewish prejudice. I mean, everybody around that area knew the Jewish prejudice. She picked up on it immediately, probably with a smile. And what did she say? Yes, Lord. No, she calls him Lord, Master. But even the little dogs or the puppies eat from the crumbs that fall from the master. She called him the master's table. No wonder Jesus said, you get what you wish, great is your faith. She picked up on things the 12 didn't understand. She picked up on it and understood it, and she said, yes, you were sent first to the house of Israel. Yes, but remember, even the dogs can eat, even the little dogs can eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You're the master. In other words, you can help me with just the crumbs. And Jesus says, great is your faith, O woman. I'm going to heal your daughter. But you see, all of this process, I believe, was training those 12 men watching all of this and wondered what is going on. It was training. Are we not in the same condition? We're in training. We're not to look upon other people's, you know, this is one of the amazing things. You know, we all realize that Billy Graham died recently, but one of the amazing things about him, he stood against prejudice, didn't he? Isn't that a good thing? He stood up to it at a time in history when there were white toilets and black toilets. Actually, they used the word Negro back then. I saw those things growing up. Many of you lived it more than I did. He stood in their faces. That's a good thing. I'm glad he did it. I think it helped our country. Jesus had to do the same thing with the 12. He had to teach them, we are not to be prejudiced. When God said to the Jew first, he didn't mean to the Jew only. He meant to Chinese and Indian and African and everyone else who will accept his gospel. And we're going to give that invitation this morning, and it's for whosoever will. We sing a song like that, right? Whosoever will, let him come. Well, if we believe in Jesus and we need to repent of our sins, confess him as Lord and be baptized, or if in some other way you need to come, won't you come as we stand and sing?